Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Real quick before we start the show, I just wanted to mention our Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Every Tuesday, we upload the show a day early. So the show normally releases on Wednesdays, as you guys know, but if you're a Patreon, you can get the show on Tuesdays. So yeah, head over there, check it out. We have a bunch of stuff. Enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today's special guest, we have Mike Caputo, aka Aloha Big Mike. Hi, Mike.
Aloha.
Aloha.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good, 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 good.
Thanks for coming on and chatting with us. But before we get started, do you mind giving our listeners a background on who you are and how you got started in photography?
Sure. My name is Mike Caputo. I'm an Air Force veteran. After
nice.
The Air Force, wow. I was on a ship, I believe with you, Chris. I believe
That's
we were
right.
shipmates back in
That's
the day.
That's so... I forgot about that too. Just mention it again. I was going to tell the whole story. Like, I was in Hawaii and I was on a cruise ship. Yeah.
So I was the safety officer on board the Pride of America. And were you on the Pride of America or Pride of Aloha?
Yeah. Pride of America. America.
Yeah. So while you were on there, I'm positive that I was on board as the safety officer.
Because what year was it?
I was on there. I took it from Germany all the way to Hawaii. So when the ship was built in Lloyd Wharf, Bremerhaven, I sailed it from, you know, all the way from Germany to Hawaii. And then I was on that ship for about 5 years before I went to the Pride of Hawaii, then back to the America. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was on that ship. I was on that ship from, it was like December of 06 to April of 07. So like 4 months.
Yep.
What? That's crazy. That's so crazy.
That's funny. Yeah. So I was the safety officer on that ship, and I was
the photographer,
a fireman
not
in the Air
the safe-
Force. Yeah, you were a photographer, right? And you only did one rotation. You were out of there.
Yeah, I had to go. That was the craziest job ever. But that's another story.
Right. You know, the funny thing is I wasn't into photography at all back then. And I was a merchant marine after the Air Force for about 10 years. And I never took one picture, traveling all over the world, flying all over the place, going into so many ports. I mean, maybe I had a disposable camera for some of it.
Yeah.
I can't find those, but I didn't get into photography maybe until like 5 years ago or so. I'm a fireman here on the Big Island, and I just started off with a digital camera. I had this Sigma DP2 Merrill, and it was actually a pretty cool camera. One of my buddies introduced me to it. And so I started with a little bit of digital, and then I saw some surf and surf film photography. Mm. And I thought, wow, this looks so cool. I want to try it. So I got one of the Nikonos cameras and started doing water photography. And so that is what kind of brought me into film photography. And then the bug bit me, and I've just
been really passionate about it ever since.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now I've got a dark room and pretty fantastic. A lot of fun.
So I want to hear about the darkroom because that's a recent endeavor, right? Only a couple months ago?
Yes, I'd say probably 6 months now.
Yeah.
I believe in March, I started the crowdfunding for it. We had a pretty modest goal, and I did a Kickstarter. There was so much support. It was fantastic. So we got funded, and I got all the equipment from old military bases that were closing down. Public libraries that no longer use their gear. There's a lineman museum out here. It's called the Lineman Museum. They had a dark room downstairs. It's this historical Hawaiian museum, but they wanted to get rid of all their equipment. So I basically scavenged the entire island to look for dark room gear so I wouldn't have to have anything shipped over here. And I was able to set it up for under $3,000.
And wow.
Now it's a community dark room that anybody can become a member and use. And we were pretty slow. I mean, I did some workshops, and that was sort of successful. But I've just been promoted and transferred to the other side of the island. And I have hardly any time to be at the darkroom anymore. So now members just get keys. So you pay a monthly membership.
Oh, interesting.
You get a key, and you get to go use it whenever you like, because I can't be there for hours anymore with my regular work.
Do you have anybody there, like, man the shop?
I suppose I could get an intern, but no. We only have 6 members right now.
Okay.
So unless it grows larger than that, then I'm fine with just handing out keys.
Right, right.
Just no guests, you know, only members and no breaking the rules. But everybody's super cool. They just come, hang out, print. And we have some people who've never shot film before that I taught them, you know, from A to B, how to shoot, develop, print. And maybe after the 3rd or 4th time, they're in there on their own making prints. So
that's so great.
Yeah. It's really fun.
So how does that work with chemical replenishing and stuff? Now, do they just let you know you're running low on something and then you kind of pull the trigger on ordering new stuff? Or do you just have like a monthly refill or something like that?
I'll just go in and take a look at the chemistry, see where it's at. We use stock D76. And right now, I'm probably 50 rolls into that gallon. And I just increase the time. So I try to cut down on waste, right? And so I don't want people doing 1-1 or 1-3, whatever. So it's all stock chemistry. And even the paper developer will reuse until that gets exhausted. So I have the stock bottles on the bottom shelf and then glass on the top shelf that is pre-mixed. So let's say the Dectol get mixed up for the prints, and we'll reuse that over and over until it's exhausted. Mm. And the same with the Rapid Fixer. We use a Rapid Fix because it's pretty quick. You know, it's only 30 seconds to fix that one.
Yeah.
So far it's worked very well. I order chemistry about once a month, and we have a backup, but hell, I've been on the same jug of D76 since June. That stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
Man, that is funny because I do a lot of developing at home and stuff. And when I talk to people that, you know, they're into it, but they don't want to take it to that next step, I'm just like, man, but they're just like, oh, it's so expensive to get into everything. And it's like, it's really not that bad. You buy a tank, you buy a couple bottles of chemistry, or like you said, like a bag or two of D76. Like, you can make that stuff stretch. You just kind of, you know, add some time to it. And like, you do it long enough, you know what I mean? You know when it's starting to, I should check it. It's probably starting to fade. You can see in your negatives are running thin, you know, like it's not as scary, everyone who's listening, if you're not developing at home or something like that. Like, it's really not that bad.
Start with a D76 because that takes all the intimidation out of it.
And you know, some people like to be very meticulous, and I applaud that. I'm just not one of those people.
Me either.
I don't even take the temperature or the chemistry. I'll just develop it at whatever room temperature is. A lot of times I miss agitation. I'm off walking around drinking beer or watching TV or developing a few roles at once. Something's going to pop out. You know, you'll get an image. And my goal is, well, the print. And I could pretty much manipulate a negative to get a decent print, no matter if it's thin. You know, I know what to do after that. But if you're just starting off, like, you could set yourself up very inexpensively. A dark bag. That's all you need is a dark bag, some cheap jugs to hold the chemicals. I mean, I use water jugs. Mm-hmm. I just put no drink on them. Label them no drink.
Easy as that.
You could probably set yourself up for under $50 to develop film, I think.
Yeah.
Easy.
Man, it's I love excuse me. I love when guests come on that are just like, "Yeah, I don't measure temperatures or blah blah blah." Cuz like, I'm the same way. I mean, when I start to get into like C41 stuff, like, yeah, I do make sure that it's at temp for developing, but I, you know, whatever the room temperature is, and I'm just so used to doing it that, you know, I know to take away 2 minutes or add 5 minutes or something like that. It's just kind of like, you know, everything
second
else.
Nature.
Yeah, it's like baking, you know. You mm-hmm. can, you know, a cup of sugar, what a cup of sugar looks like, you know,
peach.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
I was so shocked the first time I saw images on the first strip I pulled out of
I'm
the
shocked
chemicals.
Every time, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, that's funny.
Every time, like, it happened again.
It's so happy, yes. Score. Yeah, it is exciting. I always have to peek, you know, before I do the final wash. I always mm-hmm. take a little look just to make sure there's something there.
So do you think the darkroom will, you ever feel like it'll be like maybe you'd be able to put more time into it, like have more as it grows, like more of the teaching? Is that something you think you'd have hopes for?
Yes, I'd like to do more workshops, but mm-hmm. it will be after I transfer back to this side of the island. My commute is 2 hours, and I really, I've got a family. I've got a jungle to beat back from where I live, deep in the Puna jungle on the Big Island. So it takes a lot of yard work to just keep the house in the open. And I really enjoyed doing the workshops. I did 8-hour workshops. They were like a full day. We'd come get the people at about 8 in the morning. I'd loan them a camera. We'd do a mm-hmm. photo walk. Then we'd come back and develop the negatives, take a lunch break. And then in the afternoon, I would take them through the darkroom portion of it. We'd make a contact sheet, and they could print up to maybe 5 or 6 negatives with depending on the time that we had left. So they'd go home with their developed negatives, contact sheets, and about 5 or 6 8x10 prints around 5 in the afternoon.
Awesome.
Yeah. And everybody loved it. Everybody who did it had a really good time.
Is that the one you did with Jonathan Canlis? I know I saw he was out there.
Well, they were all experienced photographers. They all shot film before. I don't believe they all developed by themselves before. Some of them, that was their first time, but we had a good time too. Yeah, that was a fun one with John.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then we did one more with Brandon Jennings from the Nikonos Project. He came out and we did a two-day water photography workshop. Yeah, he flew out. He brought, I don't know, 15 different kinds of Nikonos cameras, and we went to a waterfall and swam below the waterfall. And then we went to a local surf break and took some surf photography, and then right back to the darkroom each day. So we broke it up into 2 days. It was really fun.
That sounds like a fun one. I wish I could fly out for that, get some use out of my Nikonos.
You have one?
I do, yeah. I've shot it, I think, this is going to be embarrassing, successfully once, for sure. And then unsuccessfully, like, two more times after that.
What happened? How was it unsuccessful?
The film didn't catch, so I was like shooting and nothing. I opened it and was like, oh, this film's still right here, great.
You were greedy, Chris.
You
wanted that extra frame, huh?
I did.
I don't care. I'll never do that again. That's happened to me like a couple times, like, never again. I don't care. I'll burn 3 frames before I shoot a whole roll with nothing on it.
Right.
But once you get used to that camera, the images that come out of that thing are incredible.
It's
that people do.
The glass is really nice. I've shot it on land a bunch too, just to see how the photos look, and it's fantastic. I mean, very sharp. It's nice and contrasty. The images have a lot of pop to them. So even using it on land is a lot of fun.
Man, so do you do a lot of like surf photography, water photography?
When I surf, I usually sling an Iconos 2 around my shoulder if I'm longboarding. I don't really just swim out to do surf photography because I'd rather be surfing. If the waves are good, I'll paddle out and surf. But if it's a small day and I'm out with the longboard, a lot of times I'll take an Iconos out. Last week or a couple of weeks ago, I was taking out a Holga, which was a lot of fun.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I put the Holga in the Ziploc bag and had to take it out and try to shoot it while sitting on the shoulder of the wave. It was a lot of fun. Some of the images came out okay.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
That's the beauty of a Holga.
Yeah, that is a fun camera.
You just put it in a plastic bag and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote Holga housing, Holga 120N housing on it, and boom, you got waterproof housing.
Man,
I want to shoot 4x5 in the water. That's kind of my next.
Oh, ooh. That would be so cool. Do they make a housing for that or anything?
No, I would have one made. I'd make it myself with like fiberglass, or I'd just figure out a way, because the housing would be 5 times as much as the camera.
Right?
From Cameradactyl, I was talking to this with the Sunny 16 guys. He makes, have you seen his Cameradactyl, the OG?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that one would be perfect to take out there. And
that would be.
Now
it's
I've
a perfect
set it
size
on
for that.
Two different shows, so I have
so
to do
gotta
it.
So now you got
to
do it.
Got to do it now. Yeah.
When you're in Hawaii, I mean, that's like my girlfriend. That's like where she wants to retire in life is Hawaii, and I'm really not sad about that. So, like, what do you spend your time shooting down there or over there? Up there where you're up and over from me.
Yeah, I live in Hilo, so I live on the east side of the Big Island. And my cameras to work. I shoot a lot of stuff at work. The guys are pretty sick of it. Everybody on my shift, they're like, God, Caputo, no more pictures already. But they're
like,
all
too bad.
Actually, at the station I was at, the last station before I went to the west side, I did portraits of all the firefighters and just out and about, you know, candids with everyone. And then I made 11x14 darkroom prints, and that's all that's in the station. Decorated the whole station with
great.
Those.
Oh, no kidding.
And anytime a visitor comes in, everybody really likes that and appreciates it. So it looks pretty cool.
What's funny, my dad's a volunteer fireman in my hometown, and before I moved out here, I shot everybody headshots, like, so for their wall, and now that you say that, I'm like, man, I wish I shot that all on film. It could have been really cool.
Right.
It's just
fun.
Standard
You're going
headshots.
Back. You're going back.
I know. Yeah, that was a project, but may be a life goal to reshoot that whole thing.
Where was that at?
In Connecticut.
In Connecticut. Oh, mm-hmm. Okay. Did you get to go on any emergencies with the old man or what?
No, but I've been on fire trucks before.
Yeah. I take my kids to the station and they love coming out. Mm-hmm.
We used
around.
To, yeah. We spent a lot of my childhood at the station.
Yeah, it's
man,
good
that's
memories,
so
right?
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I shoot work and surf. And there's a lot of pretty landscape out here. So it's, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I've shot in every square inch of
sure.
the island already, but I haven't. There's so much more to do, and it's just different ways I want to shoot it too, with different formats and trying to hit a specific type of photograph that I was looking for. Like I have a lot of ideas of projects I want to do. I was shooting the lava a lot while I was working.
Oh, yeah.
That
cool.
eruption
cool.
that we had about a year ago, it was really hard for, you know, in the local area. Took out about 700 homes and...
Jeez.
No kidding.
I was working every weekend for, I don't know, a few months. And when I'd go out there, you know, I always have a camera in my pocket too. I had to bring one with me. Just, it was really impressive to see something like that up close.
Yeah.
And of course, I was shooting it in black and white. But I took some color photographs. I love slide film, so that's all I shoot for color film. I just really
cool.
like slide film. Yeah.
What kind? Are you like a Fuji guy or the now Kodak kind of guy?
I always was a fan of Velvia. 50, Velvia 100, and I have a roll of Ektachrome that I still have to send off to the Darkroom Lab. I shot one roll so far, and I haven't seen what it looks like yet, but I'm excited to check it out. When you have an actual Darkroom, you just, and the ability to develop your own film, and I'm sure I could get into developing color, but I'm really focused on just black and white. And when I shoot color, I just like to send it off and have somebody else do it and get it back. But for colors, I just, Velvia is dreamy. I love it. It's like, it has this nice 3D pop to it.
Mm-hmm. It does. It does. Man, I need to shoot more slide film. That's one thing that I'm lacking. And I remember hearing not too long ago that E6 chemicals were being like stopped produced. I could have dreamt that. And then I immediately that might not even be real, but I thought I heard it somewhere and I immediately bought like 3 kits to develop slide film, and they're still just sitting on my little like kit shelf over there, and it's like, should I do it or should I wait till I have like 15 or 20 rolls or something? Right. And then, you know, because I have a ton. I have about 5 rolls of the Ektachrome that I shot. I cross-processed one just to see like what it would, because I've never done that, so I wanted to cross-process it. And because C41 chemicals are super easy to get your hands on unless they're sold out somewhere. But other than that,
I just shot my first roll of Ektachrome. I was telling you, Timothy, before we got on.
Yeah, you said.
It's really nice.
Looks good.
Yeah. It's some of them were like a little underexposed, which is my bad. But yeah, it's fun. I really liked it. At first, because it's so different than my usual portrait, I was like, oh, what is this? But then I was like, wait, no, this is really cool.
Yeah. I've seen how it looks. It looks fantastic. I think it looks really neat.
Yeah, it really is.
So did you develop it at the Darkroom Lab?
I did.
Did you get the slides back mounted?
So not yet. Not yet.
Do you have a projector?
I don't.
Oh. Well, you
but
could
I'm excited
find
to look
a-
at them on like my little makeshift iPad light table when they get here.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I made a light table too for myself. It's, you know, I just bang something together with fluorescent bulbs at Home Depot.
Yeah, that's how mine is. Mine's like a homemade light table.
Nice. You guys like stepped it up. I'm like, I'm just gonna use my iPad.
Well, that's all I shoot for color. Yeah. So I have
You need it.
Thousands of slides. I've spent so much money on slide film over the last, I don't know, 5 years, but it's pretty much, I've shot some C41, but mostly it's all slides. It's because it's almost like a little mini print. You get a print in your hand, a positive, you hold it up to the light. And it's easy to scan if you scan it yourself.
Yeah, I agree. It is easy to scan.
C41 is a son of a bitch to scan.
Yeah.
I've tried it, and I can never get it to look even remotely close to like Walgreens or something else, you know, any other lab. I'll take the same negative. I'll have the lab scan it just to see if I could get it close. And it doesn't look anything like it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's my Lightroom skills, but I don't know. I can't get anywhere near it.
Yeah. Color's tricky.
Man, I always have issues with Ektar, like Kodak Ektar, because the film base is like orange, so it always, I don't know what the deal is with that. It always makes it look super like blue. I guess is blue the opposite of orange for some, does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense, but it always seems so blue when I scan Ektar in.
How often do you use Ektar?
I'm a predominant black and white shooter. I've been shooting a lot of color lately just because why not try something different during the summer, you know, when there's some like vibrant colors and all that stuff, and just try to shoot a bunch of color film. So that's what I did this summer, is I kind of tried to step out of my comfort zone, but I'm right back at shooting black and white again. Like my parents were in town this past weekend for a wedding and stuff. So I just shot all black and white because I didn't want to think about it. Like when you're shooting color, see, that's my issue. It's like, oh, there's that red mailbox or door in the background that's going to take all the attention of the image that I'm shooting right here to the corner. So that's why I like to shoot black and white, because it's like, I see in black and white. It's like, I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah.
And do you print a lot of your black and white?
I used to, but we moved to a smaller apartment, so there's only one bathroom. When I had our last apartment, we had like a his and hers bathroom, and my bathroom was just a set up dark room. I had 2 enlargers and trays
the dark
and
toilet.
Nice. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
their toilet.
It was. It was great, though. Like, all you need is just a dark room, and you can, you know, print inside of it. But I haven't done it yet because I don't, it's such a hassle to go in and out with everything. So I just haven't pulled it out yet. I'm looking for a little, like I mentioned it a couple times on the show. I have a coworker that has the perfect basement spot. They have a room that was kind of designed for a washroom. It has no windows, no light coming in. Like, it's the best room ever, but we just haven't worked anything out yet where I can bring my enlargers and darkroom stuff over. And plus, I don't think I'll ever be home again if that's the case. Like, because I know how much I love seeing that print come to life in the developer. When you put it in the developer and you're, you know, shaking the tray and there it comes, it's just like there's that's nothing the in the world like it. Yeah, there's
it's
nothing
the finished
like
product.
It
product. It's the finished, you know, the it finished is process. Once you have the final print in hand, then, and you've done it all yourself, it's extremely rewarding.
Yes,
to go from developing the negatives to having the final print on the wall. And I keep all my old boxes, whatever size paper they are, and I just fill them with prints. Prints of my kids, prints of everything. And then the ones I really like, you know, I'll frame them and hang them on the wall. But I have hundreds of prints. I'm addicted to it.
Yeah, I've been teasing the idea of doing something darkroom related. That's all I'll say for now. But I'm just excited to get back into making prints like that, just for the heck of it. You know,
my old lady hated it, man. When I'd set up the dark toilet, she couldn't stand it.
Oh, yeah. That's why I haven't done it.
Fixer. And when are you moving out of the bathroom? The kids would have to come and use our bathroom and make a mess in there. And so I was only doing it maybe once every other month or so. And like you said, it's a pain in the ass to
break it all down
and put it all back and forth. The first time it's exciting, but like by the 20th time you're doing that, you wish you could just find a spot where you could leave everything set up.
Yeah, it was a real pain in the butt. Like, I set it up once in here, and I even went and built like little, like a dark curtain to hang over the big window, because this bathroom's so small that we have in this apartment that it's just such a bummer. So I was going to build a little cart that I could wheel in and out, but I don't know. I'm just going to wait. We're not going to stay here forever. We're looking to try to maybe get a house or something soon. So hopefully that happens.
Don't get too far behind with your negatives.
Oh, I'm so behind. I'm like 3.5 years behind with all my negatives. Yeah, it's tragic. It is tragic.
You know what's cool, though, is I've been doing that recently, going through my files and pulling out old negatives and printing stuff from like 2017 and 2016 and just revisiting old negs. And it's really fun to do that and try printing them again and comparing the print now compared to how I interpreted it back then. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times now, since I'm using fiber paper pretty much these days, I really don't print on RC anymore. The prints look so much different just on that basis alone. But then the way I decide to tweak them now, you know, do a little dodging and burning here, whatever. It's really interesting to see the progression over the years, how you know, you might interpret a particular negative. It's fun.
Even seeing, I always talk about this too, like even seeing work that you kind of overlooked in the past, you're like, that just didn't work, you know? And then you look at it with fresh eyes, like 2-3 years later, you're just like, holy cow, how did I not see what this image was about 2 years ago when I took it?
That's such a great feeling too. I always, you know, get surprised when I fall in love with work I hated at one time. You know?
After it sits and marinates, you have all that time and you go back with fresh eyes and a different perspective. You know, things could have changed for you, and you look back and you say, oh, wow, I actually like this now after all, or you notice something different about it. That's why I don't develop my color film for months. I'll let them sit in a drawer for like 6 months before I ever send them in. And I'm always surprised by what's on there half the time. Oh, look at this. Oh, that was so fun. Yeah, look, I forgot that even happened or that I even took that picture. It's kind of neat doing it. But with black and white, having a dark room, I'm like, ooh, I just shot two rolls. I'm going to go develop them right now. So
that's so cool.
It's kind of a nice perk. And then I have prints the same evening, too. I dry that stuff up, and I walk out with a contact sheet and prints the same day.
You know, that's when I started photography, I had a little makeshift, I've told the story on the show a bunch, but a little makeshift darkroom under my parents' stairs in the basement. And I would literally go shoot come home, develop. I would blow dry the negatives dry because I didn't want to wait for them to dry. Like on the cool setting, don't melt your negatives, guys, if you try this life hack. And then I'll go right downstairs in the dark room and I would make the prints. Just boom, boom, boom.
It's so nice being able to do that, having it so fast, the turnaround like that.
Yeah.
And you didn't even worry about Instagram, did you?
Nope. And there was no Instagram to even show it off. I just would go upstairs with my little tray, like, look, I printed this. Parents would be like, wow, looks great.
I've been making postcard prints and sending them out to people.
Yes.
It's really nice to have tangible stuff. So I sent them to all my friends. And then I did like a fundraiser for the dark room that was really successful. Mm-hmm. That helped help me pay the rent for a couple months. But I've been printing on 5x7 Ilford Classic Matte. And I just draw the line on the back and send out the postcards. Yeah. And everybody loves getting something like that. And people are sending me postcards back and prints. Print exchanges are great.
Yeah.
They are. It's a really nice way to communicate and, I don't know, you know, grow the community. And you feel a little bit closer to that person once you actually have a print of theirs in your hand. You know, besides just texting back and forth, you actually have something. It's really cool. I like it.
I think Ilford, they had the postcard sizes, right? Like with the lines already on them.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember, because I remember I never got to use that, but it was like, I remember buying the pack and never getting around to that. But
so if you use that, you get to use the postcard stamp, but it's a little small. If you send a 5x7, it just seems a little bit nicer if you send a 5x7. I mean, those ones are really cool, but I really only shoot medium format nowadays. And so at least with the 5x7, I put a square on there and the square doesn't look so tiny. If you try that with the little postcard papers, that square gets small really quick.
Oh, sure.
And so I'll make them like a Polaroid too. You know, I put the square up top and write a little stuff on the bottom.
Cool.
That's cool. Gives you a little room to write on there.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I never thought to do that.
That's fun. You should try it.
I think I might.
Right. Yeah, on. I did a full series with those, the Ilford 4x6 postcards. It was called the Postcard Series. And I did a little zine and had somebody write. They wrote kind of like letters on the back of them, but it was kind of like a story, like for each photo. I gave them, I think it was like 8 or 10 photos and had them write like a story to the photo, like they were writing it to like a parent or a friend or something, and made a zine out of it. And we did kind of like a collaboration show, and it was really cool. And I wish I would have, because I made a whole bunch of them. I went and bought like 4 packs of the 4x6 paper. And
oh wow,
was in the dark room, like, or the dark bathroom, the dark toilet, for 2 weeks, just like, you know, mixing it up and having fun. And like, that was the last thing I did before we moved out of that apartment. So
when was that?
Like a
when
great
was
project.
That?
Great yeah. project.
That was like almost 4 years ago. So
wow. Yeah. I didn't know you had a show and everything. That's awesome.
I always say about the art crawl here. We do an art crawl every first Friday. And that was like kind of a small sect of, I had, you know, my stuff filled up on the wall. And then at the table, I was doing the postcard series. And, you know, I gave it all away for free. I wasn't selling it. I was just like, if you want it, because they were all pictures of Franklin, you know, it was or Nashville and Franklin, kind of just like from a tourist perspective of like, what would you take a picture of to send home to your family to show that you were here. So it was a cool little project.
Yeah,
sounds interesting for sure. Do you two do a lot of zines? Do you both do zines?
Yes.
I used to more so.
Yeah.
I haven't in a while. Like, I really need to get back into the zine world. I've been working more on like a book project, but zines are so much fun to put together. I don't know why I'm not doing it like every other week. I should be doing like a Xerox zine.
Yeah, I've done one and I'm overdue. I like to have like a theme or a project or something. And nothing has hit me yet for zine number 2.
Who did you use to make it, or did you do it yourself?
I use Blurb, and I think that's what you used.
Yeah, I did Blurb.
Yeah.
I tried the trade book, and it just seemed too flimsy. So I just recently did the magazine, the premium magazines, and they came out really nice. Like, the print quality, I was surprised. So I have a few up there right now, and I made like 3 of them just to test and see how they print.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was really stoked on how they came out. Pretty cool. The black and whites, they look very good, deep, rich blacks, and the color one came out super nice too. I was very pleased with it. Did you get the magazine
job.
As well, or the trade
book?
Yeah,
I did. I got the magazine. Yeah.
I've done the trade. Yeah, I did the trade book. I kind of like that like lo-fi look of it. So that kind of works for my style.
Nice. Yeah, it's all subjective, right?
Yeah, it is.
Whatever works for your style.
I like that size, your recent one, Timothy. That's like, I think it'll be in my next size, a smaller one.
The cool thing about that trade book is it's pretty affordable. You can make a fairly decent size one, and it doesn't come out to being very much, so it's nice. Like, the magazine got expensive kind of quick, so...
Right.
But I just wanted to see what was out there and have some fun, because I don't really do much with my color stuff. Black and white, I print tons of it, so I was trying to figure out something to do with color, all these color images I have, and zines.
Zines. I'm such an advocate. I think I said it was like the last or the episode before. I'm like the superhero advocate for printing your work. Mm-hmm. I just think it's so important because, like you just said a couple minutes ago, it's like the final step to everything. You know, like what is the point if we're not making like a final image or something? You know what I mean? Like something you can hold. And
by doing these too, you get ideas to do more types of photography or different types of zines. Like, I'm gonna do one with all the guys at the fire department.
Maybe
I love that.
A Christmas present or whatever. Give everybody one, and then all the photos with friends. You know, just make them for friends. I had a good time, and it's a nice creative process. You know, you just sit there in the computer and you get to design it all. And
they make it pretty easy too.
Drinks and rock and roll when I do.
Yeah.
Get
in the zone.
Man, I love hearing that about the fire. I would love to, you'll have to let us know when you put the fire company one together. I would love to catch one of those.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, sure. I just got all the guys at work the other day with the dad jokes. So I was holding up the phone and ambushing them all, and it was like 3 minutes long, but I got them so many times, and they were so sick of it. They were so over it because I was recording each one, right? And then I strung them all together, and I just threw them on my Facebook pages. Yeah, look at this or whatever. And the thing's got like 100,000 views already.
Ooh,
it's my most shared thing ever.
It's going to go viral.
Dad jokes, right? I should have put something in there about photography. I was like, why are my dad jokes going out there instead of photography stuff?
Of course.
It's a good laugh, though. But
man, love it.
Got to have fun at the fire department.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was just going to ask, what's your go-to black and white?
I always shoot Tri-X. It's pretty versatile. I like to push it a lot to 3200. So I'll either shoot it at box speed or mostly, you know, if I'm pushing it, like I just shot my daughter at one of her plays that she had. So I pushed it to 3200 and I really like how it pushes and it prints nice too. I mean, if you're shooting medium format, then the grain isn't too noticeable. But when you push the 35, it gets super grainy and contrasty. But with 120, it's still really cool. Yeah. So I just shoot Tri-X for black and white and pretty much Velvia for color. And then if anybody gives me film, of course, I shoot that.
Yeah, I'm such a sucker for black and white, like no matter what. I just love it. It's especially because, you know, like I can print later down the road when we do have a place, or I have a place that I can set up and print and do all that fun stuff.
Absolutely. It's the black and white, you do the full process. I mean, well, I guess there's people who do it with color too and set up color printers.
Yeah, there are.
Is that still really popular? I mean, is that coming back too? People making color prints?
I mean, I don't know if it's like super popular, but I know I've had, you know, like my friend Mike, he's getting into making color prints and, you know, kept hounding me for my color head enlarger. I have like a really nice Omega color head and he's just like, I'll drive over and get it right now. I'm like, all right.
No. Yeah, even though I have a dark room, I really don't know much about photography. I just, you know, I've never went to school for it. Everything I learned by it was like reading directions on the packages or watching things on the internet, YouTube, learning how to do stuff. So I have no formal training. It's all just self-taught. But there is a guy on Oahu, and he set up a dark room. It's called the Dark Room Underground. And
Cool name.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's like in this little loft space. He's just opening up, and he's got a couple color enlarger heads. He really likes to do color printing. And he's the only guy I know who does it, but It's interesting. An interesting process. I just love black and white so much. I don't know if I could ever switch over to color. I just don't.
Yeah. You should team up with him and do a joint workshop.
We should. He was asking me, about some tips on how I was running it, how I was trying to generate revenue. So I hope he's successful. We need more. We need tons of community dark rooms all over the place.
I agree.
Yeah. This day and age.
It's coming back.
Gotta get all the kiddos back in the dark room.
Yep. I teach mine.
good.
You know, in high school, we all took the high school darkroom class, which I'm sure is not a thing in high schools anymore. So we got to keep it back alive.
Yeah, I failed mine. I had it in high school.
I think I failed mine as well.
How do you not pass high school photography? How stoned do you have to be? You're stupid. maybe I didn't fail, but I think I had it for a semester or something, or 1 year. And it didn't, I had no interest in it back then. You know, I took it just because, well, it's easy, supposed to be, right? You take something that you're not interested in. Anyway, I did not go approach school the correct way when I was young. That's probably why I went into the military right after.
Yeah. But thinking back on my darkroom class, that wasn't the class that got me hooked. That wasn't it. You know, I did it because it was required, but it wasn't until in college where I was like, the darkroom! Let me build my own, you know?
So you took photography courses in college then as well?
Yeah. So there was the one darkroom class that was like 3 hours long. It was on a Monday night. So you basically would shoot and they would give you projects to shoot and then you would develop it, let it dry, go in the darkroom and print. And it was one semester. Once you passed, that was it. You couldn't take it again. Oh. And I was like, but can I please take it again? And they were like, no, you already got the credit.
Did they let you use the darkroom, though, if you were going to the school, even if you weren't enrolled in the course anymore? Like, could the students use it?
I'm not sure. Probably not, because they probably want to teach you how to use it. You know, make sure you knew what you were doing.
Yeah.
Mm. They had it, because they have darkrooms out here, but you can't use them unless you're enrolled in school. And that's unfortunate. So that was the main reason why I wanted to set something up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess it's like a resource thing, though, you know, because school budgets are so jacked these days. Like even college, I'm sure it's such a hassle for them to, you know, keep chemicals and papers. And I mean, the majority of people that aren't in the photography world, like, think that it's completely extinct, you know, like anytime I see a person and they're like, oh, you're shooting film? Wow, that isn't what, like, how
they
do
still
you
make that?
Find it
yeah,
anymore?
They still make
yeah,
that?
Yeah.
They
yeah.
still make that stuff every time. Every time. Especially, I use a Minolta Autocord mostly, right? So what is that thing? Oh, they still make film for those things? Every single time.
All the time. Yep.
And I was like, how long you got?
Yeah.
Let me tell you.
Let me
did
tell
you
all
the Kodak? And I start going into the whole spiel. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're bringing film back. That's how popular it is. And I tell that, you know, sometimes I go into it and people are like, don't believe me. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah. So I've listened to a bunch of your podcasts in the past. And how you doing on your gas, both of you? Are you doing okay?
Oh, never. Never.
Is it under control?
Never under control.
I haven't bought anything in like a month, so I think I'm doing okay.
I was on Craigslist today, actually, and I was like looking at contacts, the point shoot, the T2.
Oh yeah,
and they're going like they're more reasonable in price now. Like I saw one for like $750.
Wow, that's
like,
reasonable.
Yeah, I know, but like those were like up to like $900.
Yeah, they were going for a grand. Yeah.
So to see it go back down, I was like, okay, I'm gonna wait and add it to my collection hopefully soon.
Yeah.
But
I used to have the one I really liked was the Fuji GA645.
That's a great camera. Yeah.
It's just basically a point and shoot.
Point and shoot. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
A point and shoot. So if you want a point and shoot camera, I think I sold it. You know, I have this policy where if I want another camera, I got to sell a camera.
Got to get rid of something.
I just can't. Yeah. So I just started getting rid of a lot of stuff and buying other things like paper and film. How many cameras do I need, right? I
don't have
so
the answer
many.
For that.
Right, you know?
I Yeah.
I'm in the same boat, though, because I still go on eBay all the time, mm-hmm. and I'm just looking. Oh, I want this Hasselblad 500C. I have to have that. That's a camera I have to have, right?
You have
and like
to.
A Leica M6, I have to have that one, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm looking at these things, and I'm thinking, don't do it. Don't do it, Mike.
Just yeah.
Think how much film and paper you can buy. You already have a 6x6 camera. What do you need another one
yep,
for?
Yeah, yeah.
$1,000 worth of film right there.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to talk yourself out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I was just having that conversation with my stepdad because he's like my mom and my stepdad are both into like shooting. You know, they like to shoot film and my mom is just kind of like into it because I think we're into it. But it's a lot of fun to have like your family come visit and go shoot a bunch of film. And like
yeah.
while we were, you know, out shooting, it's like I feel like both recently we came up with the realization that a camera is basically just a light, tight box that you make an image with. Like they're all the same. You can have a Sears yeah. camera and a Nikon camera from the same time and they both do the exact same thing. I mean
yeah
exact
you yep. get a good lens. Like yeah I do get it. Like there's some lenses that are like tack sharp and you know you get like a Pentax 6-7 with the 105 and you know it has a look to it. Like I get
right.
that if you want something like that, but you know in the long run they all do the same thing. Like they just
they really
all
do
the same thing.
Yep. And you know what I've noticed as well, too, is that the final product, the darkroom print, is not much different. Like, if you're shooting a 6x6 camera with decent yeah. glass, by the time you get into the darkroom with that negative, you're not going to be able to tell what camera that is. You can
yeah.
tell anybody
oh, yeah.
it's anything, and nobody
yeah.
will ever know, right? Nobody's going to know what you shot.
No.
Some 6x6 or some 6x7 camera, yeah, but you won't be able to tell. So it's all ease of use, what you like to use. And
mm-hmm.
for me, you know, when I first started getting into film photography, I was going crazy with buying cameras. And now
heck
I like
yeah.
it just much more streamlined. Like I listened to your show last week with Ben. He's got one, right? And
yeah, yep. living the dream.
No, I don't know if I would want to do that. Props up to him.
Yeah,
I have a you know my grandfather's speed graphic that I take out every now and then.
Oh,
I couldn't imagine
no kidding.
Taking out an 8x10. That's you know everywhere you go to shoot. That's impressive.
I just don't know how to have that like leash on my excitement for this stuff because
right.
I always want something new. And I mean, I don't know. I feel like I've been doing really well lately. Like I said, I've only bought one camera recently, and it was a steal. If I was a dummy not to take it, because the flip around turnaround rate of selling it again is. But I think I'm done obsessing over. Like I could not go to a Goodwill or a thrift store
mm-hmm.
without buying every broken piece of crap that they had to offer. Like I would have bought it
funny.
All. Like every time I had to save each camera and it's like
camera
I
rescue.
Have yeah I have bags of cameras in my closet that I will never shoot, you know, like really great yeah like
yeah.
really great cameras that are you know perfect for somebody, but I don't know why I had to keep buying them.
That's good stuff,
but I think I've chilled on that. I think I finally calmed myself down on that.
Right on. I'm right there with you, or at least I'm talking like I am.
We'll yeah yeah.
Things change all the time.
They do. I mean, I'm sure next week I'll find something again that I'm like,
ooh, I gotta have this for that.
Yeah.
It's funny how it changes too. It's like my white whale
it
camera
is.
Something different every
mm-hmm.
couple of days.
Mm-hmm. Your desert island camera.
Desert, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of,
I think you need to, well, before we go into the break, I think, Chris, I don't think you need to get a Contax T2. You have like the Yashica 5 and all, or 4 or whatever the hell it is.
I have both, yeah.
You have like
a. You got both of those?
Yeah, I have the T4 and the T5.
What would you buy a T2 for then?
Because it's a heavier camera. It's like a you know, it's not plastic. It was like a nice uh-huh. camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it's like,
so what's
it's a luxury.
Make you take out one over the other when you go out? Are you like the T4? Is it the T4 today or the T5? Or will
you know,
I do the T2?
It's just how I'm feeling that day. However, the
right.
Yeah.
I've got a million point and shoots too, so I'm gonna
yeah. say like I really love. I collect them at this point. I feel like it's safe
yeah.
for me to
yeah.
say.
It's hard not to, right? They're such beautiful little things.
Yeah, they're like so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I love them so much.
I've had them all, and
yeah.
I've sold all of them, too, and I've regretted selling every one of them. I wish I would have kept them.
Which one do you regret the most?
Probably my Yashica T4.
Yeah.
That was a great camera. it just, the pictures were really nice with that camera. And mm-hmm. my Olympus Muji 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I sold that one as well.
Both good cameras.
I sold my Contax T2. I sold my Nikon TI. I sold them all.
Oof, sad. You got some good ones. Jeez.
Yeah. Bought them and sold them. And then I'd buy different formats, right? So I'd sell a little point and shoot and buy a Pentax 67. So
yeah.
That arguably takes better photographs than...
Somebody on the Craigslist, when I saw, they were like, I'm getting into medium format. So I'm open to trading like a Mio or a Pentax medium format. And I, for a split second, I was like, Then I was like, no, don't do it. Don't. That'd be insane.
Yeah. I like having lots of friends who have lots of cameras too. It's nice because then you get to borrow them and take them.
Yep. Shout out to Chris Visser. He's letting me borrow something right now.
It's cool doing photo walks or just trading cameras when you're out and shooting a roll of film in a different camera. It's a lot of fun too. So, yeah. I don't know. I'm just blathering on and on. I want them all still. I want to buy them all again. I want my shelves covered.
Yes.
I want to be the Scrooge McDuck of cameras.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, I want to swim in them right now. I just want to be like...
Yes.
Or just like take a picture with all of them just like in your arms around your neck. Like, these are my babies.
Uh-huh.
I had some coworkers come over. They were helping me move furniture. I think I said this like last week or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, you guys need to see the office. Like, come in here. And I'm like, this is my one cabinet that has 40 cameras on it. This is where I keep the good ones in here.
Yeah.
These are all my instant cameras. This is all my developing chemicals. This is my big printer. You know, like, they're just like, you're crazy. Like, you are.
I've heard how it takes you a long time to get out your door just figuring out.
Oh, it's
out
embarrassing. It is embarrassing. You would think that like I'm like picking out an outfit or something, or like I was, you know, like, oh, hold on, I need to finish like fix my hair before we leave. No, it's like I need to take the Pentax 6-7, and then I need a point and shoot in case we're in a dark environment where I need the flash. And then I need to take my rangefinder because I'm quick with the rangefinder. Like it's like boom, boom, boom. But I got the new Polaroid Originals black frames, black and white, so I need to have one of those with me. It's like
How big is your backpack? Do you have a big backpack?
I just use a Herschel backpack with like a camera insert in it. I always, like right now, I have the Polaroid. I have the Polaroid Mint version SX70, the 670 that's got the time machine on it, so you can do like long exposures and stuff. And then I have my Mamiya RB67 Polaroid back because I was taking a couple Polaroids of my mom and stepdad. I have the Contax TVS, which I know it's the poor man's T2.
But that lens is great on that, right?
Oh, it's perfect. I love that thing. I love that thing.
So you pack up that many cameras just like to go out to
just
get
to walk to
eat?
Work.
Really?
Just to walk to work. Oh.
Man, you go. I think you do need to go to a group meeting or something.
I know. Right? They have programs for this, and I need to join one.
I'm usually good. I'll just take one, but it'll take me that time to decide.
Which
just
one? Yeah.
You know.
That's kind of the nice thing about switching over to one format. So just shooting medium format mostly. I just have the one camera, one medium format camera now. I always know what I'm going to be taking out with me. And I still do have some 35s. I have the Nikonos, which I use pretty often. And then my motorcycle camera. I take my Olympus XA on the bike when I go cruise around.
Cool.
Oh,
nice.
That's a good one for the bike, you know. So.
Yeah, that's a tiny, tiny little guy to whip out and get the shot. And it's got a great lens. I mean, the images that come out of that thing are so good.
That's the one point and shoot I wouldn't sell. Because I know, too, if it breaks, it's only going to be like $100 to replace
it.
This is good fun. Thanks for having me on,
guys. Yeah, this is awesome.
Nice talking to you. And catching up with an old shipmate, too.
Right?
How about that? Do you still have any pictures from that time
you know,
you
I was
were
just thinking, I was thinking about that before we get on, that all those are on a hard drive that I can't get. I have to, because it's a... That was 2006, so that hard drive is like a FireWire 400.
Oh, geez.
And I don't have anything to like connect it to my computer.
That's why we shoot film.
I know I have some Polaroids around here somewhere, like the real deal Polaroids from back then. But yeah, I'm going to have to figure out how to get into that hard drive. Imagine if there was a shot of you, Mike. I would just drop dead.
You know, when you came on board... We probably spoke because every crew member that comes on that ship, yeah. I do the safety orientation. I did the safety orientation and where you'd go for your emergency.
Did you do the training? Because we had to leave the ship for like a couple days to do that off, like the training in the classroom?
No. I was always on board.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That was your initial training. Yep. So funny. You know, it's a small world after all.
It really is. And you don't know whose paths you've crossed before, you know.
I saw you doing a live Instagram where you were just talking, and then you just brought it up. I was like, holy cow.
Yeah. I remember coworkers. That. Yeah.
We're shipmates.
So nuts.
Funny stuff. Yeah, I'm still out here, though. I haven't left. Came out here in like 2003, and I love it. Hawaii is a really nice place to be.
I was bummed because I didn't really get to see much of it because we were just on the ship. And Dob is a photographer. It was every day. It was 7 a.m. We had a little break in between. Then was set up at 3 to shoot. And then depending on what day it was, we had formal night.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.